Hello, welcome back. It's 25 to 7. Now, this week in the United Kingdom marks Mental Health Awareness Week, sparking conversations all around the country about the prevalence, treatment and stigma of mental health conditions ranging from depression and anxiety to OCD. The UK's Mental Health Bill apparently weighs in at £94 billion annually. But how much does treatment work? One in two of us apparently suffer from undiagnosed mental health conditions. Well, Gerald Barnes is the Chief Executive Officer of Smart TMS and joins me now on the line. Gerard, a very good evening to you.
Hello, John. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Tell us, first of all, what is Smart TMS?
Smart TMS is a company which specialises in treating people with mental health conditions. We use a technique called TMS, which stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation, and that is essentially using a powerful electromagnet, about the same power as you get in an MRI machine, which we have a small one of those, which we put on your head, and it's completely painless, but through the wonders of electromagnetism, we can create currents in your in the nerve cells in your brain, which will essentially get the brain working again. And if we do that enough times, we can cause patients to gain remission from their depression. So that all sounds too good to be true, but I'm pleased to say that NICE, the National Institute of Health and Clinical Excellence, reviewed it 3 years ago, and so they've approved it. You consider it to be safe and effective. So it works really well. The great thing for us is that we see in our clinics, we see patients getting better every day.
Well, that is good news. I have to say I was very surprised when I read the figure that one in two of us suffer from undiagnosed mental health conditions. What kind of conditions are we talking about that we wouldn't recognise? Because I think most of us would know, I assume that most of us would know, if something wasn't quite as it should be in terms of our own mental health.
Yes, I mean, I think there are a wide range of mental health conditions, from the ones that people know about, depression and OCD, which you know, are quite commonly known. OCD sometimes I think is slightly trivialised.
That's obsessive compulsive disorder.
Obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, we talk about people whose desks are tidier than ours as having a bit of OCD.
Yeah.
Real OCD is a very debilitating condition. We had a patient who I'm pleased to say we got better, who would. Was convinced that on his way to work, he had run somebody over, and so he would then go back and retrace his steps, or that he pushed somebody under a bus, or proper obsessive compulsive thoughts that he just couldn't manage. And so very pleased to say that in his case, TMS was able to get him better. But then there are a wide range of other less common conditions that people can find very debilitating. I can list a range of conditions for you, but I'm not sure that's going to be terribly helpful for your listeners. I think we've got depersonalization disorder, which is described as the commonest mental health condition that nobody's ever heard of.
What is that?
It's a condition where you feel removed from yourself. So you feel like you're sort of watching yourself. You can be sort of feel like you're out of body.
Really? I've never heard of that.
No, well, most people haven't. It's actually probably somewhere around about 1% of the population have it. So that, it's relatively.
It must be very
common.
Disturbing.
Yeah, and it's only emotionally numb. And borderline personality disorder is another one, which is quite hard to diagnose, because sometimes it manifests as depression, sometimes it manifests as anxiety, and so it is a very complicated field and very hard for doctors to diagnose, to accurately diagnose patients. Quite often people have more than one condition at the same time.
Yes. I was interested earlier on that you raised the issue of language, saying that people had obsessive compulsive disorder just because they've got a tidy desk. And I know that it always upsets me, because I've family members affected, would people, for instance, misuse the word schizophrenic when they mean that they're having difficulty choosing between, you know, one pizza or another, or inconsistent behavior. And it's used frequently in the media. Lots of mental health terms are misused, you know, nutcases misused and schizos misused, a whole host of words are misused. I always make a point of trying to reach out to people who do use the term wrongly, schizophrenic in particular. You know, I tend to tweet when I hear people using it on television or radio. And it strikes me that it's very difficult for people with mental health conditions to accept the mental health condition, especially when mental health words are used in such a derogatory way. I mean, who wants to be, you know, who wants to accept a schizophrenic condition when it's used all the time in a negative context?
I think that's exactly right, John. I think people are afraid of being diagnosed, and that will be one of the reasons why people don't come forward. And actually, in most cases, receiving a diagnosis, whilst it may be sort of short-term, I'm going to say traumatic, because it can be, you know, that powerful. In the medium to long term, it is positive for patients, because they can start to understand why it is that they're behaving in the way that they are behaving, and feeling the way that they are feeling, and can seek help where help is available.
Yeah, because we've stopped misusing other words. I mean, we don't, you know, when I was a kid, the word Mongol was misused for people with Down's syndrome. Spastic was used as an insult. We've stopped doing that, but people still use the word schizophrenic, for example. And it's interesting when you pick people up on it, how defensive they can sometimes be. Mostly people will write back or tweet back and say, I'm very sorry, I didn't mean to use the word, I won't use it again, or whatever. Two people I've written to about it both simply refused to accept that using the word schizophrenic was wrong. One was the defence correspondent on Sky, and the other one was Vince Cable, who just insisted that there was no acceptable synonym for schizophrenic in a non-medical context.
I think you're right that language is clearly really important, and language is all part of the stigma, and using these phrases in kind of common parlance in a slightly derogatory way, or completely derogatory way, clearly doesn't help. But we're on a journey, I think, where society is getting more tolerant generally. And as you say, Mongol is no longer accepted. I mean, maybe, you know, here's hoping that in 10, 20 years' time, schizo won't be either.
Yeah, certainly hope not. What advice would you give people if they feel that friends or relatives may be battling an undiagnosed mental health condition? What kind of support can we give to our friends and family?
I think try to, as you say, be supportive. They say that there are five pillars of mental health. I'll just reel them off very quickly for you. Diet, important to eat well and be hydrated. Sleep, getting 8 hours sleep is great if you can. Mental health conditions often get in the way of that, of course, but if it can be done, it's great. Relationships, very important, real relationships, not social media relationships, and exercise, of course, outdoors if you can. And then if all of those things are right, then healthcare should provide, hopefully, the final ingredient to hopefully get you well again. So,
and employers, I'm guessing employers have a role to play in all of this as well, because I think to this day people are still a bit worried about going to their employers and saying, you know, I'm having a depressive episode, for instance, because they're worried they won't be promoted or might even be sacked.
Yes, I think that's right. But I think part of the reason for that is as an employer, you're worried about what the long-term prognosis of your employee is. The fact that really up until now, there haven't been solutions which have, good long-term prognosis, I think means that employers are doubly concerned when they have those sorts of conversations. The sad fact is that, even for those who are diagnosed, about 50% of people with depression, somewhere between 30 and 50% of people with depression are what's called treatment resistant. So conventional treatments of antidepressants and counselling, won't help them in the long term. So,
Gerard, it's an important conversation, and one, of course, that we know is ongoing all across the United Kingdom this week. A very important conversation to have. I much appreciate your insights. That's Gerard Barnes, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Smart TMS. It's 6:45, and we'll be talking.